That's right. They're moving on up. They are the Jeffersons, 720 WGN, and they're moving on up to Antenna TV. And boy, what a festival you have planned, Todd. We have like the 50th anniversary of the Jeffersons, correct?
Yes, sir.
And lay it out there what you're going to do, because this is a pretty big deal.
Yes, we're really excited about this one. So January 18th marks the 50th anniversary of the Jeffersons.
Mm-hmm.
And Antenna TV is celebrating by launching a 50-hour episode marathon, starting at the exact time of the premiere of the show. So it'll start at 7:30 p.m. Central on January 18th. It's a select, basically all the best episodes you can possibly think of the Jeffersons. We have it hosted by Raven Simone, who is famous for being Olivia on The Cosby Show, and she's the host of Scrabble on the CW.
Right.
And we also have an appearance from none other than Marla Gibbs,
Miss
Johnson.
Fantastic.
She did an interview with us back out in KTLA. We shot at KTLA Studios. Raven did the interview with her, and we're really excited. So just wanted to bring that to attention to you.
Well, we've got
lovely listeners.
Yeah. Well, also, it goes along with the podcast series.
Yes, sir.
That is coming up new this month, since it's January. There's a whole new list of guests. And ironically enough, what a coincidence, they they have something to do with the Jeffersons, too. And some other things, some other shows. But when I was listening to the interviews with, the first one I'd like to play is just a clip from writer J. Moriarty. I believe that's how you say his name.
Yes, sir.
He wrote for Norman Lear, right?
He was also producer and writer for the Jeffersons. As
right. And I think he says in this little clip something that's common denominator to all of these shows, and how they can't be done today.
Watching Norman Lear shows on Antenna, you see things that you couldn't see today. Everybody says, well, you couldn't do that show today, you couldn't say those things today. It was a time when Archie Bunker, it was a generation gap between people under 30 and over 30, and Archie, his son-in-law, Meathead, represented two basic polarized factions in the country. Thoughts about the war and about race and about a lot of political issues.
Or as he called it, serious comedy.
Yes.
Which is exactly what it was.
I mean, tastes have changed. I think back then people were definitely looking for something a little risque, a little more. They were tired of I guess you could call it the that 50s mentality, that post-World War II mentality where everything has to be nice and then structured and everything has to be perfect and everything like that. And then the 60s came sweeping in.
True.
And changed everything. And, of course, television's going to follow suit. Norman Lear was famous for that, and he definitely did that with the Jeffersons. He describes Sherman Hemsley, who played George Jefferson's character, as basically the perfect foil for Archie Bunker. You know, he described as he wanted like a little guy who would really stand up to Archie Bunker, and it translated to one of the best spinoff shows of all time, The Jeffersons. So,
well, I still think you could do a show, and I'm not that hip on all the sitcoms that are out there now. But having interracial television is no big deal.
No.
However, some of the content that was part of those shows back then would be startling now, I think.
It depends
with prejudice and religion and government and that whole, Meathead anti-government stance, and Archie, the really arch-conservative who had some very, racist attitudes, at least in the beginning.
Correct. And he did do a transformation. But these days, yeah. I think it depends on what you consider television. Because, I mean, you have streaming services.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more.
And there's definitely stuff on streaming that you would not see on the three major networks.
No, that's very true. So. And you know, it's not television. It's HBO. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do.
I think it's gotten to the point where the lines have been blurred so much between streaming and network, especially network television.
Yes.
I mean, stations like Antenna TV, you've got the opportunity to do some programming that takes people back to their childhood and great memories. And that really serves a purpose. But, I mean, when you get locked into things like, a new CSI or something like that, you know, there's going to be sort of a formula. And it's only going to go so far, and then it's going to last a certain amount of minutes, and then there's going to be a certain amount of minutes of commercials, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to do it again and again and again and again. Whereas streaming, although it appears on your TV screen, although some streaming services now do indeed have some commercial breaks, it's different. And the content is totally different. I mean, there's literally no boundaries, really.
Really?
No.
I mean, it depends on what you're looking for. I mean, a lot of what I believe our viewers are looking for is what would be called, it's a familiarity. They know the shows. They're familiar with the shows. They know what the plots are going to be. They know what the outcomes are going to be. They understand the characters. They know the characters. They've known the characters since they were children.
Right.
You know, you put on the Jeffersons and, you know how he's going to act. You know the jokes. You're ready for that punchline, and it's always funny. So that, I think, is what people mainly look for our channels. But
And there's a comfort value, a comfort factor to
it. Yes, it is.
Very comfortable.
It is. And it's like, a lot of it is, I've never seen this. I haven't seen this show in years. This is great, you know.
Yes, indeed. You know, you said Marla Gibbs. I've got a clip from the podcast. Let's just play the clip from Marla Gibbs from not only the Jeffersons, but also 227.
Being on the Jeffersons was wonderful. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. I was doing a play, and I was working at United Airlines. And then I got the Jeffersons. I heard they were auditioning. I went over, and it reminded me of the people I grew up with in Chicago. So that's how I delivered it, and they liked it.
You know, there's a little unintended peek into what it's like to be an actor before you make it. I was in a play and working in United Airlines before she got on the Jeffersons.
What's funny was is she kept that job for, I think, 2 seasons.
The United Airlines job?
Yes, because no she kidding. Wasn't sure that. Well, she wasn't. She wasn't a regular character until 3.
Right.
So she was kind of like a reoccurring role. Like she'd pop in for an episode or two for the first couple of seasons, and then finally they gave her to full time cast. They put her on the full time cast. But during that period of time, she kept her job at United Airlines.
That is something.
She describes it. She just wanted to keep she got free mileage for it, so she was able to get free airfare. And that's from an old interview that we did with her. This is what we're bringing on for the marathon. We did a whole new interview with her.
Oh, really?
With Raven Simone. Yes. And she, for 93, if you would believe it.
Sure.
A lot of personal insight into the show, being close friends with Sherman Hemsley and Roxy Swain, working with Norman Lear, she talks about. She gives us a lot of inside scoops to the show, a lot of things you may not have known, secrets of the Jeffersons, I guess you could say.
Sure.
And what's funny is just she's still got that sass and got that attitude, and she's one of the most welcoming people you'll ever meet. She's so always smiling, always, you know, ready to talk. She was great. She's absolutely
not only that, but these shows are centered, at least as far as the storyline is concerned, in Chicago.
Well, the Jeffersons is based in New York, but she's from Chicago. I forget exactly where, But
she said something to the effect of something in the show always reminded her about people she knew in Chicago.
People she knew from Chicago growing up. Right, that's right. The inspiration for her character was she could see that the dialogue kind of matched kind of the banter that she had with friends and family or whoever that she grew up with in Chicago. And she just fit right into the cast using that technique, I guess you could call it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Character research.
Yes.
Got to get a little background going.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're gonna do more with Todd when we come back on 720 WGN. Some great shows on Antenna TV, I'll tell you right now. That's, of course, obviously the theme from Welcome Back, Kotter, done by John Sebastian, who had been with the Lovin' Spoonful. And that theme became a hit record on its own at the time. And I know that you're doing a lot of things with the Jeffersons, but you also talked to... is it Vernie Watson? Is that how you say her name?
Vernie Watson. Yes,
yeah.
Who played Verna Jean Williams on Welcome Back, Kotter.
That was Boom Boom's girlfriend, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And, we have Welcome Back, Kotter is on Rewind TV now. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, all good. Hey,
it's all family?
Just a few switches away, and you're right there with Rewind TV, our sister station.
Well, as long as it's in the family, I don't feel bad then. But, you know, I mentioned earlier about the process of getting a job in Hollywood as an actor, and she tells this story.
I was a certain age, and out here you have to have an agent. And I knew an agent from New York, and I told him that there was a part coming up on Welcome Back, Kotter for Boom Boom's girlfriend. He said, Vernet, you're too old for that. I said, well, how about I go get the job, and I bring it back to you, and then will you represent me? He said, yeah, so... I put them little barrettes in my hair and some gum in my mouth and went down there and got the part. And he represented me, and he's still my agent after all these years.
Yeah, you're too old for that. I beg your pardon.
Not at all.
Thanks for the...
Exactly the same, too.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and thanks for the helpful comment right there. Yeah.
Well, actually, I bet you that's a very happy agent she has, because she is still active and has been all over the place. I mean, she was on Good Times. She was on What's Happening. She was on The Jeffersons. She was on Fantasy Island, Benson, Love Boat, all over the place. And she's still acting today. She's great.
So these Nostalgia Series podcasts, there's one person that we haven't mentioned yet. So, and that's Hal Williams. So tell us about him.
Hal Williams. So, known as the husband of Marla Gibbs' husband on 227.
Yeah.
Which is on Rewind TV. He also has a few appearances on The Jeffersons. One of the episodes we'll play during our marathon. He's great. He was on Sanford and Son, Walton's. Lots of film and TV.
Sinbad.
Yes.
And, boy, I hadn't heard that name in a while.
Yeah. And, he describes his experience on 227, working with Marla Gibbs and Sanford and Son, of course. And, just how television's changed and the differences between today and back in the day. And, he was a really good interview. Liked him a lot.
Well, I love these, Nostalgia Series podcast that you guys are putting together, and it just always amazes me the access that you get to these people who have such a important part in all of the various programs that you do. And I think this is the first time I've had you on talking about these podcasts that there has not been a specific musician involved.
No, we had to leave the musicians. Well, we didn't have any musicians associated with the Jeffersons. We were
doing. No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, there aren't any, hey, he had a hit record and tell us about what it was like when you first wanted to be a musician. I mean, I'm not criticizing. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just to show you which way you can go with a nostalgia series. I mean, it's not just nostalgia music or nostalgia TV. It's any way you want to take it. And your access is... You'll go near and far.
Yes, sir.
To get access to these folks.
Rain, sleet, or snow. You won't be out there.
Where was Marla Gibbs when you were talking to her?
We met her in Burbank. She was at a classic television convention out in Burbank. And she was there also Vernet Watson was also there, and a bunch of other people. We had a whole lot of people to talk to at that one, but she was definitely like the biggest one. Like, we were so happy to get her, and you couldn't ask for a nicer person. Like, she was just like, oh, I even saw her outside after your interview with her, and I talked to her for a minute, and we were just, you know, chewing the fat together, and she's like, oh, you know. So I really, really liked her. But that's where we get a lot of these people to be at conventions, and if they will talk to us, we will definitely talk to them. So,
you know, speaking of being a nice person, I remember from part of the podcast you have with Hal Williams, he's telling a story about meeting Sinbad at some function, and then a year or two later, he gets cast on the Sinbad show, and Sinbad tells him that one of the reasons that he got the job was because Sinbad felt that he was a real honest person.
Yeah.
And wasn't putting on airs, and he was real and genuine.
You get that in the interview for the podcast. You definitely get that impression of Hal Williams. He's definitely, you know, one of very honest and down-to-earth and relatable people.
You know, I know you're not talking about Red Fox, but he does tell us when he was on Sanford and Son, he does tell a story or two about Red Fox, and that Red Fox didn't like to rehearse.
No.
And that he would do anything to avoid rehearsing. Because, you know, he was a nighttime guy. You know, he's Vegas. He's out. He's doing things. But man, when it came time to do the show and the cameras were rolling, he was spot on.
Yeah.
Never made a mistake in the script. I mean, that's a talent. That was a great show. Oh, I love Sanford and Son.
My brothers and I definitely love that show. We quote it all the time.
So yeah.
We're big Sanford and Son fans.
It's iconic.
Yeah.
It's very iconic.
Yeah, there's lots of insults that brothers can trade with each other that are from Sanford and Son. So, you know.
Yeah, I do know. And Red Fox, you know, off camera, Red Fox the comedian was something you could never put on television.
Not from his records. You couldn't. I mean, a lot of those comedians, I mean, it depends on what they're doing, but I've always, Red Fox, and Sanford Son with Red Fox, he personified that character. Like, you could tell he knew who that person was.
Yeah.
But I have a theory with comedians is that they tend to do dramatic roles really, really well.
They do that. Yeah, like, I agree with you totally.
Well, like John Candy, him in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles towards the end, like, you just want to start crying at the end of it, because he just, for a comedian, he could really pull off a dramatic role. But the same goes with these people from, I think Hal Williams definitely did dramatic roles. Marla Gibbs definitely did dramatic roles.
Sure.
So, you can play funny, and you can be, but you also have to know that dark side in order to be a funny person. Or
the name of the name of the streaming series is escaping me. It stars Kate Winslet, and it's about a World War II photographer for Vogue, and Andy Samberg is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't expect, in a very serious
Lee
is the name of the movie, right? Thanks. And it's a very serious role, and you would not expect, usually, that would be the Andy Samberg way to go. But I totally agree with you that a lot of comedians make great dramatic actors, and I think it's true when people who work in comedy, and even actors who work in both, say comedy is harder to do than drama.
Oh, dear Lord, yes.
Yeah.
I could only imagine so. It's... But for me, like, again, like it my belief is that if you're a competent comedian, you have to know the dark side. You have to know both sides.
Absolutely.
So I think that's why, like, people like Robin Williams, I think, really translated well the drama, and it works really well for comedians.
Hey, you know, while we got a couple of minutes, I want to make sure that you bring up again the Jefferson's 50th anniversary marathon in case people missed it at the beginning.
So we have the Jefferson's still moving on up 50th anniversary marathon, which will start at 7:30 p.m. Central on January 18th, which is the exact date and time 50 years ago that the show started. We will have 50 hours of the best Jefferson's episodes and featuring special appearances from Marla Gibbs and a few other people. And it's hosted by Raven Simone. So,
you know, it just
set your DVRs.
These are half hour. These are half hour episodes.
Yes.
And you have 50 hours of them.
100 episodes.
Wow.
Yes. And I'm doing all the trivia for it. So I've seen all of them. Yes. I had to sit through all the
episodes. I'll tell you, some people have, it's a tough job.
Oh, but you know
you really got to do it.
I tell my friends all the time, it's like, guess what I did at work today? I sat and watched TV all day. Oh, no. You know, I could have been digging ditches. So I'm not complaining at all. Not complaining at all.
I know it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks for coming in and filling us in on that and also the other folks who are part of the nostalgia series
coming
up in January.
Yeah, and we will have those nostalgia stories posted every Monday on Antenna TV's Facebook page, and those will be available on WGNRadio.com.
All right, I'll talk to you. Have a happy new year.
Happy new year, sir. Thank you for having me, and I'll see you next month.